Okay, welcome to the deep dive.
Great to be here.
Today we're peeling back the layers on something pretty crucial for B2B marketers, especially if you're working in those complex fields, you know, like medical devices, biotech, life sciences.
Absolutely. We're talking webinars.
Yes, webinars.
Yeah.
But maybe more importantly, what happens after the live event? There's this like hidden value often left on the table.
The power of repurposing. That's the core of it.
Exactly. And we're digging into this using some excerpts from a really insightful article by People Productions. It's called The Hidden Value of B2B Webinars, Content Ripe for Repurposing.
Yeah. And anyone who's put together a B2B webinar, they know it's a big investment, time, resources, effort.
For sure.
The good news, as this article points out, is that they are effective. Genuinely effective.
They really are. The source actually highlights that webinars were tied as the most effective B2B content distribution channel last year. So they deliver results.
But Yuzi, there's always a but, isn't there?
Huh? Seems like it. Here's the catch, and this is why we're doing this deep dive. The same source says a pretty big chunk of B2B marketers, about 37%, admit they struggle with actually repurposing that webinar content.
And that struggle means missing out. It's a huge missed opportunity, especially in your industries where, you know, education is key. You've got complex products, specialized audiences.
Right. Not maximizing the reach of that expert content. That hurts lead gen, market education, everything.
So our mission today really is to unpack the insights from this People Productions piece and show you how to unlock that hidden value. Turn that single webinar into like a content engine that keeps working for you.
Okay, let's jump right in then. Because the source's core idea here isn't just about the after, it's about planning for it right from the start.
Exactly. It's not an afterthought. It needs to be baked into the process, designed for repurposing.
So how do we do that? Where does the source suggest starting?
Well, right at the foundation.
Right.
Webinar outline itself.
The structure.
Yeah. Build that outline. But think about the end goal. Structure it around your key messages, those core takeaways, the specific points you know you'll want to pull out later for marketing, for sales.
And the source emphasizes having a really clear structure, like define sections. Why is that so critical for repurposing?
Think of it like pre-chopping your vegetables before cooking. If you have logical breakpoints between topics in your outline, it makes it so much easier to go back to the recording later and just lift out that section. A shorter video clip, an audio segment, no awkward cuts, no missing context. It just streamlines the whole editing process.
So you're basically creating mini assets within the main event. And the source says these chunks are super versatile, right? Good for social media, landing pages, lead magnets.
Totally. Quick hits, deeper dives on one topic,
yeah.
Very flexible. And there's a pro tip in the article about this.
Yeah.
It's simple, but it makes a great point. A tight, structured outline isn't just for repurposing. It actually makes the live webinar better. Ensures you cover everything logically, keeps the flow tight. So the live audience benefits just as much as your future content plans.
That makes total sense. A clear roadmap helps everyone. Okay, so outline first. What's next? The visuals.
Yes, the visuals. Your slides, diagrams, charts. The advice is design these with shareability in mind while you're creating them, not as an afterthought.
Why the emphasis on doing it up front? Can't you just adapt them later?
You can, but it's often way more work and the result might not be as good.
Yeah.
Think about taking a really busy, complex slide and trying to make it a clean, punchy image for LinkedIn.
Right. It gets messy.
Exactly. If you design it from the start thinking, okay, this diagram needs to work on its own, we'll likely make it simpler, more focused, easier to grasp quickly. Saves a ton of hassle later.
Okay, good point. Design for sharing from the get-go. Now, moving from visual to verbal. The source talks about scripts and speaker notes. That's interesting.
Yeah, this is quite strategic. They suggest providing speakers with some pre-written lines, not necessarily, you know, a full script they read word for word,
right.
But specific phrases that really help with future use.
Like what kind of phrases?
Things like explicitly prompting the speaker to describe a key visual, as you can see in this chart, that sort of thing.
Ah, so someone just listening later knows what's being shown.
Precisely. Also, clearly signaling transitions. Okay, now that we've covered X, let's turn to Y. And, crucially, repeating audience questions out loud before answering them in the Q&A.
Oh, that is huge for audio. If you just have the audio track, you absolutely need to hear the question. The source calls this strategic hosting, I think.
That's the term they use, yeah. And it dramatically improves the quality if you repurpose just the audio or even video clips pulled from Q&A or sections with important visuals. Someone catching that snippet later, maybe out of context, they can still follow along.
Makes sense. And there's another pro tip connected to this, wasn't there? Something about wider benefits.
Yes, and this is really important. The article points out these verbal descriptions and clear transitions don't just help repurposing. They make the live experience better for everyone. Think about visually impaired attendees, or neurodivergent folks who benefit from clear structure signals, or even just auditory learners who process information best when they hear it described clearly.
Wow. So planning for reuse actually makes the content more accessible and, frankly, probably just better overall.
It's a win-win. Good planning leads to better live content and easier repurposing.
Okay, one last bit on planning. Registration. Seems basic, but important.
Totally. Simple but essential. You need to let attendees know upfront, during sign-up, that the session will be recorded and potentially transcribed for future use. Transparency is key.
And the article suggests offering an option for anonymity, like anonymize my name face.
Yeah, especially for Q&A.
Yeah.
It respects privacy, but still lets you capture that valuable audience interaction. And speaking of capturing, there's a tech pro tip here too.
Right, about transcription.
Yes. Many platforms now, Zoom, WebEx, Teams, offer real-time AI transcription. It might be standard or an add-on.
That's a game changer, isn't it? Having that raw text transcript almost immediately.
Huge head start. Gives you solid raw material for blog posts, articles, social copy.
Yeah.
Just needs editing and polishing.
Okay, so that covers the upfront planning. Now, the article also talks about involving external experts. This feels really relevant for, say, biotech or medical devices.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
KOLs, key opinion leaders, or SMEs, subject matter experts, they bring instant credibility and reach. The source calls involving them a win-win.
Makes sense. Why is it a win-win?
Well, the first win is obvious. They add depth, different perspectives, authority to your webinar. Maybe it's an internal expert, an external KOL, or even a client sharing a case study. Great content.
Okay, and the second win?
Accessing their networks. This is huge.
Ah, right. How does the source suggest leveraging that?
Two phases. Before the webinar, create marketing materials for them, pre-written social posts, maybe some key bullet points for an email, stuff they can easily share with their own followers and contacts.
So you tap into their audience to boost attendance for the live event.
Exactly. It extends your reach significantly.
And then after the webinar, don't just stop there.
Nope. Keep providing them with value. Remember those segments you planned out. Edit clips featuring the expert. Create social posts with their best quotes. Maybe highlight their contribution in a blog post section. Give these assets to them.
And the source says they actually appreciate getting this ready-made content.
They really do. It makes it super easy for them to share their involvement and key insights further. And every time they share, it extends the life and reach of your webinar content, often into those really niche, specialized professional circles you want to reach.
Which is gold dust when you're trying to connect with specific roles in complex industries like life sciences.
You got it.
Okay, so we've planned meticulously, we've involved experts strategically, the webinar is done, the recording is ready, now the payoff. This is where the source details turning that one recording into a whole suite of content, max ROI time.
Right, and the article breaks it down into different formats.
Let's start with video. Obviously, you have the full recording, but the advice is strongly towards editing it down.
Definitely. Into smaller, digestible clips. Remember those structured sections from your outline?
Uh-huh. Each one's a potential clip.
Exactly. These can become mini webinars on demand, focused on just one topic. Or shorter videos for YouTube, Vimeo, bite-sized clips for social feeds. Or you can embed them right on your website, maybe on a product page or landing page.
And the source stresses polishing these clips, right? Even if the full version is available.
Yeah, each piece should stand on its own, look and sound professional. Treat them as individual assets.
And what about unexpected moments? The source mentioned something about that.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for those unscripted bits. Was there a really sharp question from the audience? An insightful off-the-cuff remark from a speaker? The article even jokes about, like, a cat walking across the screen.
Okay, maybe not the cat for a medical device webinar. But the point is, those human moments or really insightful exchanges can make compelling social clips. Maybe even humorous ones, depending on your brand. It grabs attention.
It humanizes things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can lead people back to the more in-depth content. Don't forget the static visuals either.
Ah, the ones we designed for shareability earlier.
Now's their time to shine. Use them in social media posts, build them into infographics, summarizing key data. Use them to break up text in blog posts or on web pages. Get them out there.
Okay, video, visuals. What about written assets? The transcript and slides are the starting point.
They're the foundation. The source suggests taking that transcript, maybe combining insights with the slides, editing, refining, and turning it into an ebook.
An ebook expanding on the topics.
Yeah, perfect for lead generation or as a valuable content marketing piece.
And sending a summary, or maybe the whole ebook, to attendees afterwards. Good follow-up.
Great way to continue engagement, provide extra value. And that transcript, it's also perfect fuel for blog posts.
Right. Pull out key sections, write articles around them.
Easily. Highlight different takeaways, maybe link back to the on-demand video or a specific clip if people want more detail. The article specifically calls out using the transcription to draft more formal articles, too.
And audio. Seems like the easiest win.
Almost instant.
Yeah.
Just extract the audio track from the video. Boom, you've got material for a podcast episode.
Or maybe even multiple episodes if the webinar was long or covered distinct topics.
For sure. And the source had a neat idea for audio, too. Using short audio clips, maybe with some simple animation or just a static image, to create new video content for social media. Caters to how people often consume stuff on feeds.
Clever. Okay, finally, the article mentioned bundling content.
Yeah, packaging things together.
Like the on-demand recording plus other resources.
Exactly. Combine the video with the ebook you created, maybe some of those key visuals, perhaps an FAQ doc based on the Q&A, supplemental links. Bundle it up.
And what's the main purpose of creating these bundles?
The source is pretty clear. It's about empowering your sales team, giving them a really comprehensive toolkit.
Makes sense.
Makes it easier for them to nurture leads, answer specific questions, share targeted info that really addresses a prospect's needs in a structured way.
Okay, let's tie this all back specifically to you, our listener. You're in B2B, likely in medical devices, biotech, life sciences. Why is this whole idea chunking content, repurposing it, why is it so critical in your world?
Well, think about the nature of your information. It's often incredibly complex, right? Highly detailed, scientific, clinical data. It requires real education.
Definitely.
So a single hour-long webinar might be necessary for that deep dive. But let's be realistic. Not every single person you need to reach is going to sit through that whole hour. Or needs that level of detail.
That's true. Your audience isn't just one type of person. You've got researchers needing data, clinicians wanting practical applications, marketing folks needing sound bites, sales needing visuals, procurement needing the bottom line.
Exactly. Diverse roles, diverse needs. Repurposing lets you take that core complex information and slice it, dice it, package it into formats that work best for each of those stakeholders.
So a quick social clip with a key finding for the busy surgeon, the detailed ebook for the scientist, a case study video for the sales team, punchy visuals for marketing, a concise summary for procurement.
You got it. By doing this, by maximizing how you use that expert content, you're not just being efficient with your resources. You're effectively educating a really diverse market. You're building credibility across different touch points. You're generating leads in multiple ways.
And you're cementing your company as a thought leader in these very specialized fields. Something a one-off piece of content just can't do as effectively.
Yeah, this whole deep dive into the People Productions article really hammers home that the live webinar, while important, is just the beginning. The real lasting value comes from planning for and then actually doing the repurposing.
Thinking ahead, outline, visuals, speaker cues, and then actively turning that recording into clips, posts, ebooks, audio. It just multiplies the ROI. You get so much more bang for your webinar.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's something to think about, drawing directly from what this source implies. If one well-planned B2B webinar using these kinds of strategies can realistically give you multiple podcast episodes, a whole series of blog posts, tons of social media clips, an ebook, shareable visuals, and a dedicated sales enablement toolkit.
Then the question becomes, what's the true untapped value that might already be sitting there waiting to be unlocked in the B2B webinar content your company has already created?